Broadcasting from atop the Hensler Financial Building in the heart of Georgia's financial district, Kennesaw, Georgia, this is Money Talks.
It's a shame that you guys can't see the dancing that goes on the radio.
Yeah, you should see our producer right now.
You're listening to Money Talks. We've got myself, Troy Harmon, Mark Bendinelli, and Nick Antonucci. We've got a subject we wanted to talk about. It's the middle of summer, and it's vacation season.
Finally, yeah. The warm weather is here to stay. The summer travel season is upon us.
Yeah, it seems like the rain is here to stay.
Yeah, we'll see. It's always like that. It's isolated thunderstorms every day.
Every day, you're right.
There are certain travel traditions that'll never die for America, like annual beach vacations, the obligatory summer road trip, trips to national parks, theme parks, well, heck, even a water park will do. All of which are about as American as apple pie.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, exactly. Hot dogs and baseball. However, when it comes to how you plan your trip, the times have certainly been a-changing. And you can thank the internet for that. However, I don't think travel agents are going to share my same sentiment on that. Back in the pre-internet days and before there was GPS, vacationers had a few more hoops to jump through and still never knew what they were getting into. Imagine having to find a hotel at the beach without knowing its exact location or the amenities that were offered.
I can tell you, I don't have to imagine that. I live through it.
Yeah, you'd have to call a travel agent or actually look up the 800 number in the yellow pages, and still, as anyone's guess, how nice your accommodations would be.
Absolutely.
I actually had to ask Troy, I was like, how did you plan for vacations back in the day, back in the dark times?
The internet is not that old.
I'm not that old, but I do predate the internet.
And getting to your destination was a chore. You'd actually have to follow an atlas, and you'd have kids asking, are we there yet, instead of having their eyes glued to an iPad.
What's an atlas?
Exactly.
Yeah. Trust me, I love the iPad.
Is that MapQuest?
Is there an app for that?
I like the old car video for sure.
Yeah, well, as much as everything's changed in the last 20-plus years, the internet is helping to disrupt the travel industry one more time, and we're referring to this new idea, the sharing economy. Sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of started with like a peer-to-peer business like eBay, maybe Craigslist, if you will, but is morphing more into a renter society. That's what we're doing right now. And maybe it's an offspring of the financial crisis as people try to make money on things that they're not using as much. Today, you can rent other people's cars, musical instruments, houses. Heck, you can even get hugs and cuddles from the internet. And that's
a rental thing?
It is. It is. It's weird. I don't know. I saw it on
by the hour.
What website can you actually rent somebody's instrument, their musical instrument on?
I'm actually not sure. I haven't tried.
Okay.
I don't really play. I'm not very musically talented or inclined. Yeah,
one of the things,
to listen to it.
Yeah, you talk about this, and it's not just Radio Shack that's feeling, and really any retailer that's feeling the crunch from the internet. If you've watched the news this week, we saw huge protests in Europe because of the taxis or the cabbies are having a problem because Uber, a new company that's basically a private e-commerce company that provides car for hire services. You can download their app, and then basically you just text your location and when you'd like to be picked up. You can actually see the cars, the location of the Uber cars on your handheld device, your mobile device, and next thing you know, there's a car shows up and off you go.
You actually used this when you were in Chicago, didn't
you? Yeah, I've actually used it a couple of times, and I actually don't have the app, but I was with someone who did, and it's unbelievable. They opened the app, said what the time was. We stepped out of the door of the Hilton Hotel, and the car pulled up. Took us to the airport. The most seamless transaction I think I've ever seen.
Now, how does it compare in terms of the cost versus getting a taxi?
Very minimal premium. But here's the thing: you don't. It's all electronic, so you've got your credit card that's actually loaded into the app. They know where to charge, and the fee is a flat fee. You don't have to tip the driver. Basically, when you get to your location, you just hop out, grab your stuff, and you're on your way, and you get charged.
And what kind of car are you riding in? Because I know sometimes when I'm riding in a taxi, it smells pretty bad, and you're dealing with some issues there, some personal issues with those drivers.
Well, I'll tell you, they've got three levels of service. They've got an Uber X. It's basically a small car. I know locally in Atlanta, it's like a $2.38 base. plus $1.43 per mile. But it's you know, a mid-sized four-door sedan that seats maybe three people comfortably. If you have one in the front seat, basically the driver has to be 23 years of age with a personal license and personal insurance. And I really think this is where they're having such an issue with it in Europe, because some of these the taxis have such an exorbitant fee. And now you've got this individual that can come in, do basically the same service with their own personal automobile. And the consumer, like I said, it's a real seamless transaction, and you've got somebody that doesn't have to have the same level of
yeah. At least it's a jobs
license,
program, I guess, for the youth over in Europe.
Well, they need
their
it for
incredibly
sure.
Incredibly high unemployment rate. Yeah, like those the cost you're talking about for a taxi. I know in London it's what £500,000 and
for a taxi, the medallion. They call medallion. Yeah.
And same thing in New York, it's several hundred thousands of dollars they have to pay up front. And these people driving an Uber car, they don't have to pay that. And that's where you're really getting some angry drivers.
Yeah. So is Uber available in all cities or
it's available in 38 countries. About 127 cities. It is available in Atlanta. Like I was checking just to see Marietta to the airport. If you go with Uber X, it's around $50, maybe as much as $65. If you go with one of the two higher, you might get up to $125 for a trip from Marietta down to the airport. But, you know, there's two other levels of service that I didn't mention. Uber Black, which is basically a town car with a $7 minimum purchase minimum fee and $3.05 per mile. And then Uber SUV, which is an automobile. It's an SUV that'll seat six people, $14 base with a $4 per mile fee. And like I say, $125 from Marietta to the airport for six people.
Sounds like a pretty good deal, 20 bucks ahead.
It's not too bad. You know, all things considered, this company is definitely disrupting. And if you're wondering if you can invest in it, the answer is no. It's still private. I would imagine it probably will go public at some point.
Yeah, I think they're expected to go public before long.
Yeah, they just had to
raise another round of funding.
Right, and you know, they start talking about valuation, and you know that it's getting close. This is an $18 billion company at the moment. But, of course, who knows what's going to happen to it in Europe with all this uprising.
There's another service that we've been looking at, and I was trying to plan a trip to Europe. Gene, I need a bigger raise, Dr. Gene. But it was Airbnb, and I know you looked into that, right, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's another part of the whole sharing economy that you can absolutely tie into vacationing and planning a vacation. So what Airbnb is a site that allows property owners to list extra rooms or an entire residence online for others to stay in. So the service provides an affordable alternative to the traditional hotel. There's more than 600,000 listings worldwide across 34,000 cities in 190 countries.
Wow.
So basically allows you to avoid paying that high premium for staying in a hotel in any area. I mean, I looked at this thing today, and you name the place, there's room. So, for example, I looked at the Upper East Side for a hotel room near Central Park. The rate was about $400 a night. Two blocks away from there, you can get a one-bedroom apartment for $250 a night.
Wow.
You have your own private space for $150 a night less.
And you can actually rent, like, private rooms or whole apartments, whole houses.
Exactly.
Even
bed. The thing that's even strange is, like Mark just said, you can rent a room in someone's house. So, you know, you might get up in the morning, walk out there, and the homeowner is cooking breakfast or something like that. So I don't know
or his dog
about that
bites
whole
you.
Experience.
How about that?
Yeah. I don't know about that whole experience, but it's definitely an interesting concept. One thing that's been brought up lately, though, surrounding this is a lot of concerns about these people who rent on Airbnb and the company itself not paying the hotel taxes across a bunch of different cities. And it's really causing some uproar in terms of changing, I guess, the laws regarding how Airbnb operates.
I know that in New York, a lot of the hotel union members are getting up in arms about this because they're not having to – Airbnb is not having to pay the same kind of taxes and everything.
A lot of missed tax revenue for the city there for sure.
Yeah.
It's been featured a lot with Brazil too, because there's been concerns about the infrastructure not being built up for the World Cup over the next month, and a lot of people have been renting out their houses and making a good deal of money on doing that because there's just a shortage of hotel rooms right now.
Yeah, it's actually great. I'm sure that we're going to have some pushback from municipalities not getting their money, but if you could park a hotel in the middle of the street, we'd probably have gridlock based on that as well, like they did with Uber. But it truly is. This is a huge change in the economy. And I expect it to continue. Well, guys, we're getting close to the end. Question is always, what direction do you think the market will go? Mark, you first.
I think we'll have a rebound next week.
A rebound.
Don't know why.
I think we're heading a little bit lower next week.
I could imagine we're going to get toward the top again, so I'll say we're going up as well. Well, guys, it's been a slice of heaven. I guess we can stop here, and we'll see you next week.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.